I didn't know whether to start the podcast this week with this or not, but if you indulge me a moment, some of you will know the familiar music that's playing of Steve Wright in the afternoon. And sadly, at the start of this week, Steve passed away suddenly, and many of his colleagues paid tribute to the godfather of radio. I had the pleasure of meeting Steve a few times when working in London, and whilst I've dabbled in hospital radio, a bit of local radio, and doing this podcast, he took the time out to discuss my interest in the medium and give me a few pointers. I'll ever be indebted to his professionalism, even to the likes of me, very much a small fry in the broadcasting world, but a true fan for what he brought to radio in the UK and around the world. Steve, you'll be missed, and thank you for everything that you did. Hello and welcome to the AFC Donscast. It's Graeme Mackay here on Sunday, the 18th of February, 2024. Coming up this week, it's another Dons double, a match and a half from midweek against Motherwell, and we face Hibs at Pittodrie yesterday. Pre and post-match reaction from both matches on the way. And we've made a new signing. Junior Hoylett has joined the club until the end of the season, and we have a quick catch-up with him as well. Aberdeen Women were in action earlier today against Dundee United. Plus, we have a roundup of the week's news from the rest of the matches in the SPFL and Highland League, and a smattering of supporters' news as well. And just a heads-up, we have a new playout system up and running, so if it all goes pear-shaped, you'll know why. Right, let's start on Wednesday night, and Neil Warnock was looking for his first league win. Rob McLean, Stevie Tosh and Neil Warnock have the preview.
From Pittodrie, Rob McLean and Stevie Tosh ahead of a couple of massive matches for the Dons. Both here, it's Motherwell tonight, it's Hibs on Saturday, and got to be looking for 6 out of 6, Stevie, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Speaking to people today, you know, and I think they've got to start, you know, going game at a time, but blocks at a time, and, you know, maybe looking at 2 or 3 games on end and decide how much points they need out of that, you know. And I think, as you say, we've got 2 home games coming up and really look to be looked at 6 points out of 6.
Here's the gaffer pre-match, Neil Warnock.
Neil, a few changes in your team selection tonight. What's the thinking?
We lost Jensen as well through he's ill, actually ill, not his injury that he picked up. I just wanted to just change one or two things, that's all, to have a look. I'm still learning all the time about a group, so be interested to see if you know what I've seen on the training ground.
These are massive matches, aren't they, tonight and Saturday, home games against teams around you in the table, and the chance to claw your way up.
Yeah, and we haven't won many games at home, have we, really, all season, so it's something that we've got to try and put right. You know, that's why I wanted to change one or two things, and just let's see if we can have a right go at them, really.
Is it frustrating with so many games at the moment that you don't have a lot of time on the training ground and not a lot of planning time?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, you do need a couple of blank weeks, but we haven't got that, so it's pointless feeling sorry for ourselves. We've just got to get on with it, really, and that's what we've done. We've tried to cram as much as we can in. But, you know, next week will be a lot better, I think, where we can spend a bit of time. But 2 tough games before then, so we've got to come out the traps tonight.
And hoping to uncover another source of goals in addition to Boyan, who I think is 10 in his last 10.
Yeah, we've been looking at our different permutations and things. You know, Duck did really well last year. He's coming, you know, he's got a bit of confidence back as well in training, so I'm sure he'll be involved at some stage.
Good luck, Neil.
Thank you very much.
Well, he's saying that he's changed a few things. It's an interesting team selection, and it's a bit of a head-scratcher putting it into a formation, because you've got Nicky Devlin and Jack McKenzie, the two fullbacks. The only other defender in the 11 that he's listed is Stefan Gartenman, so it's going to be interesting. Does Graham Shinney move into the back line? We shall see, I suppose, is the answer.
Yeah, I think we've got you know, we've watched him for many a year, Neil Warnock, and he's obviously teams that he's picked, particularly at Sheffield United, and I think he's thrown us a wee bit of a kipper the night, because I've not got a clue what formation he's playing, you know, and maybe that's a good thing, you know, but maybe, you know, one of the things that fans have pointed out, we've been so stringent over the course of the season with sort of the four or the five at the back. And looking, as you say, Rob, is the team that Neil's picked tonight, it's very few defenders, so I guess we're expecting free-flowing attacking football, and let's hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, let's hope so. We will have all the coverage for you, Red TV Match Night, live from here at Pittodrie. There is pay-per-view available tonight for £13.99, ppv.afc.co.uk if you want to get involved. The Red TV coverage, 7:45 kickoff, of course, starts at 7:30. Stevie and I will talk to you then.
So to the match then, and Aberdeen rescued a point against Motherwell on Wednesday night after a nightmare first half for the Dons. Theo Bear's double and Adam Devine's strike put Motherwell in a commanding position inside 26 minutes. But Duke soon netted 30 seconds after coming on as part of a double substitution. The attacker levelled 5 minutes after the break after Stefan Gartenman had pulled another goal back. Both sides went on to have goals disallowed. Boyan Majowski bandled the ball home from close range. The striker was flagged offside and a lengthy VAR check confirmed the decision, although he looked level. Motherwell's celebrations in the 80th minute were short-lived. Payton turned the ball into the net after a goal-mouth scramble. Ref Kevin Clancy disallowed the goal after seeing Callum Butcher push Jamie McGrath with two hands on the VAR monitor. A point apiece then. Here's Neil.
It was some crazy game. How do you start to analyse it?
Well, it started this morning, really, when we lost Jensen to an illness. And so we had to change the plans and things. And we went the way we did, and obviously it didn't work. It was a bit of a mess. But luckily, we changed it in time. And all credit to the boys. I thought they were super. And a big plus to the fans, you know. At 3-0 down, they could have slaughtered us. But I thought they were very good at 3-0 down, and that first goal gave us a little bit of impetus, and then I thought at half-time we could win the game, really, if we could get that next goal. And if you've seen the VAR for the goal, Bojan's goal, I mean, how they can say that's offside. Goes up and over his head, and the guy's arms out, and I just don't see how they do it, mate.
Have you got an explanation about that?
Well, they just said it's done for them. It's like the goal line technology, but I don't see that. I don't think it. Somebody called McLean was in the VAR.
Stephen McLean, yeah.
Yeah, I can't see how he can give that as offside. Not in a million years for me. But hey, that's life, isn't it?
It's incredible, isn't it, when you're sore at not getting all 3 points, bearing in mind the way the game started.
Yeah, I mean 3-0, dear me. With nothing to lose, then we changed it. And the lads, in fairness to the lads, they put a right shift in after that. And to come back to 3-3 and then keep taking the game at them, you know. I thought they only had probably a 10-minute spell in second half when Angus got a bit tired. And, you know, because he's not played for a while, really. So I thought that once we started closing the gaps, we looked a lot more positive, really.
But it was all change when you went to a four. Suddenly everyone looked a bit more comfortable, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought the midfield three were very, very good after that when we went to a 4-3-3. Duke took his goals well. Like I said, Bojan were unlucky not to get the winner there. And I thought Jamie did well as well on the other side, you know. So I was really pleased. Back lads were steady and the goalie, you know, great punch when we needed him to do one.
And I think we could see Motherwell were clinging on to a point at the end, weren't they? Yeah. Having been three goals up in the game.
I think they were quite relieved to get a point, really. Quite right as well. And you know, they I think the way that they started and the way that we played, you know, they must have thought all the days would come at once, really. But all credit to the boys. You know, the change was worked and they worked harder. I thought we moved it around very good as well. Just that little bit more clinical stuff and Duck was about an inch away from his hat trick. You know, that how he, you know, he thinks it was a miss really by him, but you know, he has put a shift in tonight.
It's a strange game though, isn't it? Because at 3-0 down, you would bite somebody's hand off for a point, and yet in the end, you're disappointed not to get all three.
Absolutely. I'm thinking, what time are the flights home tomorrow? Phone call from Dave.
Yeah.
But no, they showed a lot of character. Like I said, I thought the crowd was very good tonight in that respect. And then, you know, once we got on that front foot, I thought there were only one team going to win it, but you know, they were always a threat on the break, but I thought Stefan steadied us down at the back. I thought he was outstanding tonight.
Back four on Saturday?
Well, he'll have to wait and see.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you.
And in between the matches, we made a signing in the form of Junior Hoylett. The Canadian World Cup winger has joined the Dons until the end of the season. The 33-year-old, who is a native of Ontario, brings him a huge amount of experience in the game at the top level, having starred in the English Premier League over six seasons. Junior moved to England to join the Blackburn Rovers Academy in 2003 and made its professional debut for Rovers in 2007 after having two loan spells in Germany's Bundesliga 2. He went on to score 14 goals in 67 starts and 92 appearances for Blackburn. The left-sided player went on to have spells with Queen's Park Rangers when they were in the top division. He then helped Cardiff City to promotion, and during his 184 appearances for the Welsh club, he scored 25 goals and provided 22 assists. He then moved to Reading before returning to his native Canada to join Vancouver Whitecaps last year. At international level, Hoylett represented Canada at the 2022 FIFA Men's World Cup in Qatar, making three appearances at the tournament. In total, he has represented his country 62 times and scored 16 goals. He spoke on Friday to Red TV.
Yeah, you can see that he's a winner. Everywhere he's been successful, and he knows how to win. He knows how to get the team on board and work together and fight for each other. That's the main thing. He brings a unity into the team, and not only the team but to the staff and everybody in the building. So it's a great manager you want to work for and want to put in the extra mile for. So it's great to have him on board, and to work with him again is a pleasure.
In the press preview for the Hibs match, Neil Warnock shared his thoughts on the new signing.
He's just a calming influence, if I'm honest. He's not going to knock the doors down on everybody, but he's a very, very good... I always call him Mr. 8 out of 10. And I have had a few 10s out of him over the time I've had him. A few 6s as well, I suppose. But in general, he's a very calm and influential, nice lad as well in the dressing room. And I just feel we just need that little bit more on the bench to give us a little bit, a few more goals here and there. Do you know what I mean? When I asked him, I told him where I was and asked him if he'd come up. He said straight away, he said, yeah, I'll come up. Because he's enjoyed playing for me in the past. He's desperate to get in the Canadian squad again for the coming up competition. And he looks in good nick. So and we're pleased. He'll fit well in the dressing room.
Yesterday, match commentators Rob McLean and AFC Women's boss Clint Lancaster previewed the match and got the thoughts of the manager.
Hello there from Pittodrie ahead of Aberdeen against Hibs, 3 o'clock kickoff. Rob McLean here and Clint Lancaster, manager of the AFC Women's team, alongside me. I think we're all still struggling to recover, Clint, from what happened on Wednesday night. Roller coaster probably didn't quite cover it. It was a bonkers game. Aberdeen will hope that they're not having to come back from a three-goal deficit today.
Yeah, let's hope not. Let's hope we get off to a good flying free start, three-goal lead. That would be good. But yeah, it was a mad game, but one that. Obviously we ended up getting a point from in the end, which I think was probably well deserved on reflection. So, yeah, let's hope it's not a similar start today.
It's only 4 points for the Dons since the winter break out of six games. It's not a great return. A win is badly required today. Let's hear from the gaffer pre-match, Neil Warnock.
Neil, how's it been since that incredible game on Wednesday night?
Yeah, well, the training's been good. I can't complain about the training. You know, there was a bit of a buzz. The lads were obviously pleased to be able to come back like they did. Disappointing in the end that we didn't pick a win up. But, you know, I think in the circumstances, the attitude's been excellent since we've been here. Yeah, we can't fault the lads. They're all giving everything. And so it's just a matter of trying to get a winning formula.
And picking up where you left off in that game, the performance on the back of being 3-0 down?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of pluses. Today we play a team very, very good up front. I think the front three is as good as anything. So we're going to have to be on that. It'll be a good test for us today at the back. I'm looking forward to seeing how we cope with that and how we can go forward and create chances.
You've got Richard Jensen back?
Yeah, he was disappointing the other day when he just didn't feel right. So, I blame him.
and Duke starts, not surprisingly, as well. And I guess we're all hoping that he's going to find the form, now that he's got those two goals the other night, find the form that got him 18 goals last season.
Well, he's got a smile on his face now in training. I think when I first come into the place, you'd think the whole world was on his shoulders, walking around like that. And whereas now he's bubbly and shy. So, well, you know what it's like when you scored a couple of goals, it gives you a bit of a lift. He's not playing in his proper position, but he's having to do a job job for us, really, and he can still get goals from that area.
And are you looking for front foot football right from the start?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that your opponents think different to that, don't they? But we want to get the crowd on and not, you know, not give stupid goals away like we did so early on, which, you know, knocked all our confidence. And yet, you know, like I say, I can't take my hat off enough to them. I thought they were super after that third goal. You know, to come back like they did, I was really proud of them, really.
All the best, Neil. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Neil spoke there, Clint, about getting the crowd here activated. I mean, it's going to be a massive crowd here today. It's Community Trust Day. We're celebrating that. So it could be a great atmosphere, and that's what you want, because Aberdeen badly need a win.
Yeah, big time. And I mean, even now, the seats are filling out, and it looks like a great atmosphere already. Loads of kids here, which is brilliant. Like you say, Community Day, which is always good with the football clubs, getting the youngsters and the local community involved. So, yeah, let's hope we get off to a good start today.
A special day. It's going to be at Pittodrie. We're only here at 2:35. We've got a bit more to say pre-match than usual because of what is happening to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Trust. We'll have the whole of the game live for you, Clint and myself. And it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. We'll speak to you soon on Red TV Match Day Live.
A blockbuster match on Saturday would surely determine our top six credentials, and that was quickly put to test after Hibs went ahead in the 12th minute through Martin Boyle after a poor clearance from Kelleroos. Thankfully, 3 minutes later, Nicky Devlin levelled the scores, converting a rebound from a David Marshall save. Aberdeen continued to pile on the pressure through the first half, and it was Jamie McGrath that put us in the lead early in the second. Clarkson picking up a Duke cross into the box. Clarkson found McGrath, and he fired it into the net after a goal-mouse from Ash. However, a controversial 67th minute equaliser from Hibs was allowed to stand. Play went on after what seemed an offside on the left, only for assistant referee David Room to raise his flag after Sam Mercondes turned home Joe Newell's cutback. Another lengthy VAR review followed before eventually the goal was given. The result leaves Neil Warnock still seeking his first league win with the Dons.
Neil, is frustrated the word?
Yeah, I think that is the word, yeah. I forget how many times I held my face head in the second half. It was... You know, the lads have done ever so well. They put everything in, and the goals we've conceded, really. They're schoolboy errors, aren't they? So I'm disappointed with the goals, but I can't complain at the effort. Everybody, I said to him, I can't even give you a rollicking tonight. You know, you've done that well. 26 shots, you know. Just need a bit of luck, I think, now. You know, we look as though, they're doing everything right. I thought we played some good stuff at times today. And some very good performances, and so doubly disappointed, really.
A bit of luck, and as you say, better defending, because gave away three goals on Wednesday night, made it almost mission impossible at that stage, and difficult again today when you concede twice.
Well, we had to come from behind again, didn't we? Which shows a lot of guts and determination in that. But I thought, I mean, you don't have to tell Nicky about the second goal; he knows he should have just put that out, really.
And the first one, even allowing for a poor kick out from Kel, there was plenty of time to recover, wasn't there,
yeah,
at that point?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, they're just bad goals to concede. What else can you say about them?
Yeah, but going forward, yeah, lots to be happy about. Yeah. And there is much more attacking threat about the team other than Boyan getting the goals?
I think so. I think we know that's as good as we've played since I've been here. And there were a lot of pluses today. I thought Jack at left back, I thought that were his best game since I've been here. I thought the centre-halves, you know, particularly Steph Helt, you know, looked solid. And in midfield, we got a grip of them and we stopped them from playing. I was disappointed in Bojan's first touch in the first half. He would have scored that when he's through. He just over, you know, just had a little bit long touch. But that'll come. And then we get punished No, let's talk about VAR today.
No, let's not. Let's talk about David Marshall's right hook on Boyan. Could that have been a penalty?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, listen, he catches the ball, right? But Bojan's headed the ball first. He catches the ball and poleaxes him. I better not say that. I'll get done, won't I, for that.
But the rules talk about recklessness, you know, likely to cause injury. Well, it actually did cause injury.
Well, if that's a boot anywhere else on the pitch, they get a card for it. So I don't understand VAR, mate. I don't understand refereeing VAR, mate.
And that's where you're talking about rub of the green. It would be nice to get a rub of the green, but then some of the responsibility obviously lies within the team as well. You need to stop conceding goals.
We've got to have clean sheets, haven't we? You know, if we get a run of clean sheets, we'll fly up the table. You know, you can't keep giving goals away like this and keep coming back. But I'm really pleased with the performance today. I thought the crowd were good as well today and got behind us, and I thought we played some good stuff.
Yeah, it was a good atmosphere. Neil, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
Hello from Pittodrie. Yet another draw for the Dons. That's number 5 off the back of the winter break, and it means very little progress in Aberdeen's attempts to climb up the Premiership. Clint Lancaster, the manager of the AFC women's team, was with me today for our coverage, and ultimately it is a frustrating outcome, and that's probably displayed on the faces and in the body language at the final whistle. Just a point for Neil Warnock against Nick Montgomery's Hibs. Montgomery used to play for Warnock when he was at Sheffield United, and Warnock was the manager there. Aberdeen got themselves 2-1 ahead in the game, having been a goal down early on. Martin Boyle having scored inside 12 minutes for Hibs to get them in front. The equaliser from Nicky Devlin, that was his fourth goal for the Dons. Then Aberdeen ahead thanks to Jamie McGrath, 2-1, but Aberdeen couldn't keep their advantage, and it was that man Morcandes off the bench who equalised for Hibs after VAR had ruled there was no offside. Clint, what's your thinking at the end of, not just 90 minutes, but 100 with 10 added on at the end, but Aberdeen having to settle for a point?
I think they'd be frustrated, really. I think that they know that they've created some good opportunities today to maybe try and win the game. I think we had some good chances in the first half, and then the first goal was a bit of a sucker punch, really, because came out of nothing, because Hibs weren't, they didn't really create much that first half, and we were much a better team. And I think on reflection, obviously we've come back from being one down. Are we happy with a point? Most probably not, but you know, it is what it is. We have to settle with it and we have to move on from it nice and quick, because the games, you know, they don't wait, they come round quick.
Goals against continues to be an issue. 3 conceded on Wednesday night, which made life almost impossible, although Aberdeen managed to salvage a point that time. And when you concede 2 today, it just leaves you having to score quite a lot of goals to win games.
Yeah, we're lucky because we've got some good players that can score goals for us. You know, we've got some really good forward players in the team. And defensively, we've got some good players and we're good. And we went to a back 4 today, which for a lot of the game, we looked good. We looked really well organised. But I think that, unfortunately, it's just, you know, another 2 goals. It's, like I say, the team will be frustrated with that, but I think that, you know, it's a point and we have to move on nice and quick.
Good luck to your team tomorrow, AFC Women, up against Dundee United at Balmoral. Get along to that one if you can. But frustrating again for the men's team here, having to settle for a 2-2 draw with Hibs. From both of us, goodbye for now from Pittodrie.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
In the other match on Wednesday night, Rangers moved level on points and goal difference with Celtic thanks to a 3-1 win over 11th place Ross County at Ibrox. But on Saturday, David Watson scored a stoppage time equaliser to earn a 4th place Kilmarnock 1-0 draw against Celtic at Parkhead, giving the chance for Rangers to go top today. Hearts are now 14 points clear in 3rd place after beating Motherwell 2-0 at Tynecastle. Dundee defeated Ross County 2-0 at Dens Park. Bottom club Livingston ended their long winless run with a 1-0 home victory over St Mirren. Ayr United are up to 5th place in the Championship thanks to a 3-2 win over Airdrieonians at the Excelsior Stadium. Inverness Cali Thistle and Partick Thistle drew 3-3 in the Highland Capital, while it finished 0-0 between Queen's Park and Greenock Morton at Hampden. Dunfermline Athletic were held to a 1-0 draw by bottom club Arbroath at East End Park. Falkirk moved 11 points clear at the top of League One after a 3-2 home win over closest challengers Hamilton Accies. In form, Alloa Athletic saw off Cove Rangers 4-1 at the Indo-Drill Stadium, and Montrose moved into the playoffs with a 4-2 victory over Kelty Hearts at Lynx Park. Annan Athletic claimed an important 2-1 win against Stirling Albion at Gala Bank. There was late drama at Meadowbank Stadium as goalkeeper Rory Adams scored a stoppage time equaliser for bottom club Edinburgh City in a 1-0 draw with Queen of the South. Stenhouse Muir stay 16 points clear in League 2 after a 2-2 draw at Elgin City, while second place Peterhead hit back from 3 goals down to draw 3-3 with Forfar Athletic at Station Park. Third place, the Spartans scored twice in stoppage time to beat Stranraer 2-1 at Stair Park, and East Fife defeated Bonnyrigg Rose 2-0 at New Dundas Park. Bottom club Clyde are 8 points from safety, following their 2-0 win against Dumbarton at New Douglas Park. In the Highland League, Becky Thistle were 3-2 winners away to Brechin City. Fraserburgh thrashed Huntly 6-0. Nairn County came out on top against Deverin Vale by 4-2. It was all square in a 0-0 score draw between Rothes and Keith. Inverurie Local Works got the better of Strathspey Thistle on the road in their 2-0 win. Tariff United and Brora Rangers fought out a 2-2 draw, and Wick Academy were 3-0 winners at home to Lossiemouth. On Sunday, Rangers went top of the Premiership thanks to a 3-0 win over St Johnstone at McDermott Park.
I've driven across deserts in the past, but this is the big one. This is the Sahara. You are currently in a Foreign Office red zone. So behave yourselves.
Shit!
Jesus!
Bloody hell!
You're in a minefield. Back up exactly where you... James, do you think this is going to work?
James May.
What?
Do you think this is going to work?
What?
He's so old.
I wish that I knew what I know now.
Dunes!
When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now.
Doing the Dakar in an Aspen.
Oh, no.
My air conditioning just packed up.
God, it's enormous!
He's on it!
On the centre!
Mauritania is totally empty. Look at it. You never heard Bond's Aston sounding like that.
There's a huge river in the way.
What are you entering? Bridges near me?
We're the best explorers.
No, 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 no! Which two human beings would you least like to be in charge? Look at this, we're in a poster!
When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was stronger.
They've got some lovely sand for sale over here.
We've got big piles over here. In case you didn't like the sand earlier, there's some sand there.
Very competitive market, sand.
The trio are back. Richard Hammond, Jeremy Clarkson and James Mee may take on a perilous journey starting in Northwest Africa, which sees them and their cars tested to the limit to battle scorching temperatures and unforgiving terrain. Watch the penultimate episode of the Grand Tour Sand Job on Prime Video. Aberdeen Women made a stunning comeback against Dundee United this afternoon, coming from 3-1 behind to win 4-3 and take all 3 points courtesy of a 93rd minute winner from Ailey Shore. A quick succession of 2 goals in 3 minutes from United Steelmen put them 2-0 up within the first 16 minutes. Bailey Hutchison replied in the 17th to make it 2-1, only for Banfield to concede a penalty in the 34th minute to put the away side in the lead at half-time. Ailey Shore reduced the deficit in the second half in the 68th minute. A penalty was awarded for handball in the 77th. The skipper stepped up and put the ball in the back of the net to give us a crucial equaliser. But it wasn't to end there, as the Dons took all 3 points thanks to a 93rd minute winner from Ailey Shore to make it 4-3 to the Dons.
can run, but there's one place they can't hide.
Celebrity Big Brother, this March on ITV1 and ITVX.
Pupils from St Macher Academy designed, marketed and retailed a unique top that was worn by the Dons in the warm-up ahead of her game against Hibs yesterday to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the AFC Community Trust. We find out more about this unique partnership and the work of the Trust.
Murray, can you just tell us a bit about what the pupils have been doing here at St Macher as part of the Alternative Academy project?
Yeah, so the Alternative Academy project is something that we run in the school for pupils who need a bit of support with their kind of mainstream education. Every pupil that's selected for it is selected because we know that they've got like a talent and something that the school want to kind of support them to achieve. So they're in with us. We work with S1s, S2s, S3s and S4s. The main groups are the S2s and the S3s. The S3s are in 5 periods a week and they do an SQA qualification while they're here with us to make sure that when they leave, they have something they can put on their CV for going for jobs and going for college and university, that sort of thing.
I know you've been working closely with Jason Hill, our club shop manager. Just how did the whole project come about?
Yeah, so my line manager at the time, David Smith, came to me and said that he wanted to do a project for Trust Day, which is on the 17th of February, where we would design an item that could be sold in the club shop and it would be kids at St Macher, kids part of our Alternative Academy programme, that would be able to do the design. So we had a couple meetings with Jason, and to be fair, he's given our young people complete autonomy over it, independence over it. They've done the design and they've done the research into what they think will sell well, the cost and production, that sort of thing. They've literally taken it from paper into kind of the real form, which is really nice. They've chosen the price, they've chosen how many of each size we're going to order. So Jason's been really good with that, and now we're at a point now where we're looking to launch it just ahead of Trust Week.
I've been the market research. Like I've been like looking at companies like Adidas, Nike, Puma. Created a slideshow with me and Jordan.
So what have you been doing as part of the market research when you've been looking at Nike and Puma? Is it just what specifically have you been looking at?
We've been looking at the prices, the fabric, and the design.
Yeah, I've been involved in a marketing research team.
Yeah.
So like I've been like looking at like different websites like Adidas, Nike, Puma and all that. It's like all those types of websites. So we've been just looking for like shirts and that to like get like inspiration from like designs.
And what did you see on their websites? What inspiration could you take from their websites?
There was a good few ones and that. Like there was ones with like lots of colour, ones that were like alright. But I just picked from like the bestseller and that.
What skills and also what differences have you noticed in the pupils throughout this project?
I think for this SQA project, when I've run it with other years, quite a lot of the time the projects that you run are quite classroom based. They don't have much practical element to it. The good thing this year, I suppose, is it's a real project. It's something that is making a difference, something that they'll be able to hold in their hands, like they'll be able to have the shirt at the end of it. And I think that's helped with engagement. I think it's helped kind of bring the project to life, I suppose. I see the young people coming in for their sessions and they're excited about it. They're excited about the project. And they're just looking forward to having something that they can walk into the club shop, see, and know that that was something that they played a part in designing, which is really refreshing.
How do you feel about creating something that's going to be in the club shop that people can actually go out and buy?
It's actually crazy. It's like, I've designed it and now it's like coming to the club shops, quite crazy.
Imagine like 10 years time seeing somewhere, oh, I made that.
This type of project as well, just how important is it showcasing the work that the Trust do that's also just away from football and that's also classroom based, which is a huge part of the Trust kind of overall mission?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think quite a lot of time, even when we first started at St Macher, I think quite a lot of people saw the Community Trust and saw the football club badge and thought that we spent a lot of time out in the pitch and stuff. But we're here, we've got our classroom, this is where we hold all our sessions. We're very rarely out on the grass with footballs. And I think it's really good, this kind of project's really good, because I think a lot of people will be quite surprised when they see the video and they see the story behind the shirt, that there's so much more going on than just, you know, coaching sessions and things that we do, holiday camps, that sort of thing. There's you know, employability work, skills for life, learning and work, all these kind of projects that we work on. that we do on a regular basis and that we've been doing at St Macar for 3 years now that people might have not been aware of. So having a project like this is great because it not only raises awareness of the Trust in general, but raises awareness of our project as well.
It's important to say that what we see in front of us today, the kids have designed it all themselves, haven't they, from start right through to finish?
Every single detail. And I was quite impressed because they wanted a little bit of retro, they wanted a lot of Aberdeen and a lot of the community trust as well present on the top itself. So very impressive from the young designers, for sure.
And can you talk us through the top? You're standing right next to it.
Yeah, absolutely. The kids wanted to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the Community Trust, but also have Aberdeen City very prominent across. So you can see the skyline that's quite visible, with Pittodrie being pretty much in the centre of it as well. They wanted the red of Aberdeen to be at the centre of it all. And yeah, that's a brilliant masterpiece they've come up with.
Laura, just how much have the pupils enjoyed working on this project with the Trust?
Oh, it's just been the highlight of their time. Like, it's all they speak about, AFCCT, we're designing the shirt, we're going down. Like, every time I see them in the corridors, when they're in my class, when they're in my office, they are just so happy. They're buzzing, is probably the best way to describe it.
And just from a school point of view, how important are projects like this that the Trust provide that's maybe a bit different from more mainstream education?
Hugely important. The young people at St Macar Academy, you know, they've got the heart. Yeah, they absolutely adore being part of the community. So it's a sense of responsibility to them. They feel like they've got a responsibility, they're adults, that they're acting on behalf of the school, but they're also being like huge part of the community. Like, to say that they have represented the Aberdeen Football Club with the Trust is huge. They're going home, they're telling their families, they're telling their teachers. It's so different and it means so much to the young people at St Macar Academy.
And how important are projects like this from your point of view, from your side working with the club and then also working with the Trust and bringing it all together?
Oh, massive, because you know the kids get a chance to get a qualification from this, so it's inspiring for them. You might have the next top designer coming out from St Macar Academy, I hope so. So yeah, very inspiring, and it's just good to get the two communities working together, the football community, the club, and the Community Trust as well.
And important to say, it will be on sale in the club shop. When can we see it then?
We're hoping the 9th of February to kick it off. Yeah, so excited to see it then.
And available to buy for the public and everything?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, please support the Community Trust as much as we can. Yep.
When we were walking down here, they were just gleaming. They could see the shop and they were like, that's where our kit's going to be. The thought of the players wearing it, the thought of like people seeing what they've designed, it means so much to them. It's actually more than I think anyone will ever know. They just are so, so happy. And I am so proud as a guidance teacher from St Macar Academy.
Excellent staff from the Aberdeen FC Community Trust and St Macar Academy. OK, let's catch up with a bit of news then. And young central defender Blair McKenzie has been recalled from his loan spell with Elgin City. Aberdeen under-18's difficult run of form continued on Friday afternoon as they fell to a 3-0 defeat at the hands of a Kilmarnock side who gained revenge for their youth cap defeat. The Young Dons were 2-0 down heading into the break at Cormac Park and were unable to salvage anything from the game to condemn them to a fourth league defeat on the bounce. Scott Anderson named the same very youthful side that went down 4-2 against Hibs the Friday before last. Reuben Smiley retained his place in goal and Kai Watson captained the side for the first of the visit of high-flying Kilmarnock, who are having a very strong league season. The date for our Scottish Cup match against Kilmarnock has been confirmed as Saturday the 9th of March with a 12:15pm kickoff. The match will be shown live on BBC One Scotland. Ticket prices are £23 for adults, £16 for over 65s and under 12s, £11 for under 18s and £6 for under 12s and £12 for wheelchair users. Ticket sales will be announced this coming week.
And the only way to have a chance of winning...
Spin the wheel!
...is to get spinning.
Gabby, how's your maths? Anything beyond six nations?
I'd like to your dad.
And there it is.
I think he was trying to pay you a compliment. It backfired horribly.
Michael McIntyre's The Wheel returns to BBC One Scotland and iPlayer this Saturday. There is a bit of respite for the Dons this week. No midweek match, but we are back in action on Saturday away to our cup opponents, Kilmarnock. Kickoff is at 3 p.m. You'll be able to watch the match live if you subscribe to Red TV International. Audio only in the UK and Ireland. Coverage starts at 2:45 p.m. The other matches on Saturday are Hibs versus Dundee, Hearts are away to Rangers, Ross County are at home to Livingston, and it's St Mirren versus St Johnstone, all 3 p.m. kickoffs there. And on Sunday, it's a midday kickoff between Motherwell and Celtic. Tickets for our away match against St Mirren on Saturday, the 2nd of March, will go on sale on Monday, starting with supporters with 200 or more points. You can purchase them from 8 a.m. online. Phase 2 is for supporters with 50 or more points from 1 p.m. on Monday. And then Phase 3 is a general sale if there are any tickets left from 5 p.m. on Monday. Tickets cost £26 for adults, £16 for over 65s, students and under 18s, £12 for under 12s and £16 for wheelchair supporters with carers going free of charge. Just a bit of admin before you go. We've switched podcast providers to Spotify, but that shouldn't affect how you get your podcasts. We're still on all popular podcast platforms, but if you have any issues, drop us an email at contact@afcdonscast.co.uk. I'll be back with more Dons news next Sunday following the Kilmarnock game. If you're heading down to Rugby Park, safe travels. And for everyone, have a great week. Till Sunday, stand free.
Celebrity Big Brother, this March on ITV1 and ITVX.